It's time to catch the beat from Market Street on WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM. Your community radio station is in the heart of the action in downtown Champaign, and Catch the Beat brings highlights of local news, arts, culture, and issues to pay attention to. I'm your host, Cope Cumston. For the next few weeks, I'll be airing segments of the July 4th and 5th panel discussions that are part of Summer of Solidarity, three remarkable conversations spearheaded by Amy Rickman and Loretta Gaffney, local artists and activists, who announced the panels saying, "Champaign-Urbana has a rich history of effective anti-authoritarian collective organizing that puts people before profit. Remember and reconnect to this legacy over our nation's birthday weekend as we reflect upon who we are and who we want to be." The panel on Friday, July 4th at the Rose Bowl was titled "Art is the Great Democrat, Visioning Community, the Stories and Thinking of Eight Longtime Local Artists and Leaders, Bill Taylor, Chris Birdie, Cynthia Oliver, Emily McCown, Kayla Brown, Loretta Gaffney, Stacey Robinson, and Warren DJ Mixon Smith." Tonight's show is the first half of the panel. It begins with an introduction by Amy Rickman.
We are so grateful to have all of you with us today. Summer of Solidarity is a grassroots effort run by a motley crew of people who love Champaign-Urbana. Yeah! Summer of Solidarity celebrates our mighty, caring, visionary leaders who make all of us stronger by putting people before profit. The Summer of Solidarity calls on all of us to stand together to challenge authoritarian structural violence that targets, endangers, and criminalizes our community. We want to thank our sponsors, the IMC Dixon Graphic, who made our posters. They are union. They are in our community. We want to thank Mowgli Studio, Annie Poppin, who designed those beautiful posters, speaking of the power of art. We want to thank Cranard Center for the Performing Arts, who funded us to give you these notepads that you all should have on your table, and Illinois Humanity. Thanks to the Rose Bowl for letting us be here today, and to all the volunteers who are making this happen. This is our very first of three Summer of Solidarity panels. Tomorrow, we have two exciting other ones at the IMC. There's some flyers up here. Please take one so you know what's going on. It's also on our website. But thank you for joining us to honor CU's rich and powerful history of anti-authoritarian collective organizing as we reflect upon who we are and what we want to be over the nation's history. Before we start, I'd like you to please introduce yourself to one person next to you who you've never met before. Introduce yourself.
I'm Amy.
Please know that that is the norm of this weekend and of all the days ahead. We need to know one another. We are being told a lot of information about one another to have us divide and to have us hate. We need to know each other, so please continue that throughout the weekend and beyond. I am Amy Rickman. I am a co-organizer of the Summer of Solidarity, longtime Urbana native and fan. And I'm so thrilled to be with you here today. We have eight luminaries with us today, and I'm gonna introduce them. They're not in order, but they will wave when I introduce you. We are so fortunate to have each of them here. Since 1986, Bill Taylor at the Calix Center has facilitated the performing arts and environmental literacy in a secluded environment. He also helped to start WEFT and the Red Herring, among many other things that he's too humble to say. Having taught three-dimensional art, studio art at Parkland Community College for over 30 years, Chris Birdie observed firsthand the benefits of a studio art experience in a wide range of community members. Cynthia Oliver is a 25-year Urbana resident, an award-winning choreographer, a professor in the dance department, and she leads the Office for Art Integration at the University of Illinois. Emily McCown hosts the weekly Urbana Hootenanny Monday nights here at the Rose Bowl. The Hootenanny is an acoustic, open stage, jam session, song share, and all-around supportive community of musicians. Emily and her co-conspirators aim to make the Hootenanny a stage of radical welcome while creating music that binds the community. Kayla Brown is founding organizer. Kayla Brown is the organizer of Toast to Taylor Street, a grassroots block party series strengthening community connections in downtown Champaign through music, creativity, and collaboration. In addition to being a musician, she's playing downtown tonight as part of Friday Night in Champaign, and we'll talk about that. Stacey Robinson is a graphic novelist, a curator, and a DJ. He's an associate professor of graphic design and studio at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign, and he's a member of the Darker Than Blue Collective. The collective spins a wide range of music to create peaceful dance environments for all to enjoy. Come chill, build, and be prepared to dance with the crew, he said. And Maureen, DJ Nixon-Smith, supports the Darker Than Blue Collective as a DJ and a social media content creator, helping to shape its sound and online presence. Loretta Gaffney is co-organizer of the Summer of Solidarity. She is also a founding organizer of the Graduate Employees Organization, GEO, who teaches in labor studies at UCLA, and she's a co-chair of UCLA UCAFT. And she will be on a panel tomorrow about that. So let's hear it for all of our panelists. So again, we're surrounded by so much wisdom here and in the audience. I want to acknowledge that not all luminaries or great organizers around art are here with us today for a number of reasons. We cannot do everything in one panel. We're a volunteer-run effort, and we, as the Summer of Solidarity, hope that these panels inspire people, create good discussions, and catalyze further discussions that are open to the public, that go across our movements, and that help us stand together to love our neighbors, know our histories, and do what is needed to stand together to say no to thugs. So we look forward to attending the panels to come. We have three questions. Everybody's going to answer them individually. And the first question is, please tell us about your work organizing locally around art. And we'll start with Chris.
As an artist, as a teacher, the organizations I've been involved with, I would consider myself a catalyst. Leaders sometimes, they come up with ideas, and maybe they have catalysts within the organizations to help them, and I consider that's how I see myself. So as a teacher, I was a facilitator, and I thought of my job is teach people some skill and get them to think critically, try some different things, and maybe they're really lucky to discover something about themselves, and maybe a light goes on, you know, whether they make a commitment to making art or just something else. I also think in terms of solidarity community, that can happen in a classroom or an art center. And the medium that you're using in fact is that binder. Like I try to do that with workshops that I taught and in my classroom. That also can carry out into your life. I think when you work with other organizations that involve the Master Naturalist community, and I've seen a lot of common thread between 3D studio areas, which are kind of a community in themselves, that work.
I am better effective under the radar. I like to sort of operate quietly and in collaboration with other people to open doors. Early in the 2000s, I was a part of the Urbana Arts Task Force to create a public arts program. Very happy to have been part of that group of people. I'm a bit of a reluctant leader also. I started working in administration on campus, and in that role took the information that I hear from community into those offices and those spaces and tried to open up the restrictions to art and practice and money, what my friend here, Ricardo, has called funny money. I love that. So I try to make the money funny for everybody and have worked very hard to remove certain barriers and continue to do that. I also like to serve on selection committees where more money is given away and make sure that those who are often ill-considered or whose aesthetics are not understood are presented in fashion that folks can understand. I have been one of those artists who was compared to folks who I was not really trying to emulate, and I made a career out of having to explain that my aesthetic comes from an Africanist point of view, and that it is very different than a Europeanist one. I come from the Caribbean, that's another point of view, and I have to always explain that the aesthetics are different, and the way we think about community and worldview is different, and that makes the art. I'll stop there.
Thanks, Cynthia. Hi, everybody. I'm Loretta Gaffney. I lived here for a long time, and I don't live here anymore, but it's great to be back. I am teaching at UCLA, and I teach storytelling, creative writing, and literature, working class literature. And I teach these things in the newly formed Labor Studies Department, the first Labor Studies Department in the University of California. Creative elements are really important in my teaching, and also in my union work. I'm co-chair of my local UCAFT, UCLA chapter. And a big part of that is encouraging creative work. I think that effective organizing really requires people to tap into their creativity, into what really moves them, what excites them, what they think is beautiful. So that is what I see part of my role as a leader, is to create these spaces or nurture these spaces where people can be creative in their teaching, in their art, in their organizing. I'll talk later about the newsletter that I helped to edit during the 1990s. I was one of the original, I guess, organizers of GEO, and we had a newsletter called The Organizer. We had an underground newsletter called The Organ, which was just for the staff. But anyway, in the Organizer, we had comics, we had advice columns, things you don't usually see in a union newsletter, kind of fun, creative work. The Viper, who was a local musician here for a long time, had an advice column. Remember the Viper, his famous orchestra. So in the midst of our organizing, we were doing this newspaper and providing this creative space. So art, literature, storytelling, all those things were really crucial to our movement. And I'll say more later.
Good morning. I'm Warren Smith. I am DJ / social media content creator for the collective Darker Than Blue. I've been in the area about 10 years now, but I've been in the public probably a few years, because like Cynthia, I was more so of a behind the scenes guy for a while. I like to consider myself more of like a utility leader. So wherever you place me, I'll figure out ways to work. You know? So just to give an idea, you know, I create a lot of images. I do a lot of cinematography. I'm a business manager for Vixen Graphics and the HR person there. So it just gives you an idea of a lot of different things that I do. For me, I like to take things on paper and see how can we make it happen in real time. An example, when I joined the collective Darker Than Blue last year, they were doing awesome things even without me. And I just wanted to see how can we capture all of these moments that we're having and get it out for people to see. So the more people can see what's going on, because we together try to create a space where people can come together and don't have to feel like they have to hide who they are. You know, I like to bring people together from different walks of life who have different beliefs, who have different backgrounds, and make them feel comfortable enough to join in and be a part of what we have going on. I create a lot of social media posts and things from our parties that we have, just so people can see what's going on, see how we're doing, just so everyone can know, hey, come and join in with us and enjoy what you have going on. And also DJ, also play music to make people want to dance and make people feel comfortable enough to step up out of their skin. And doesn't matter how you are as a dancer, just come in and join in with us. So that's just a little bit of like me being more of a utility person. I don't have to lead out front, but you can put me anywhere, you know. So that's just a little bit, and I'll further explain that later on.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you all for being here. Thank you for our organizers. I don't know if I consider, first of all, Stacey Robinson. I don't know if I would consider myself an organizer. I think that the best way that I could think about what I do is I'm a collaborator. And I can steal the word co-conspirator. I like to make public art, and I like to make space available. And I like to collaborate with like-minded individuals, especially people I consider smarter than I am. Because I think that's smart, right? Work with people who are more talented or who are smarter than you. I believe that as I am here in this community, very blessed to work in my area of expertise at the university, I've been very spoiled. I get to do everything that I want to do. I've been mentored by amazing, amazing individuals, two of which, Jason Finkelman in the audience here, who I know we all know, right? And Cynthia Oliver, who is on a panel with us as well. One of the things that I'm seeing of great importance right now is my ability as graduate coordinator for our MFA in design program. Let me just say this. Yesterday, as my wife and I were meeting with our tenants, we own an investment property. We're trying to be really awesome landlords. We're trying to do all these wonderful things for other people. I'm getting emails from graduate students whose visas have been denied. And I am, as we're trying to be really awesome landlords and trying to have these meetings and be attentive, I have to respond in real time during these meetings because these Ghanaian students want to come and pursue their dream with us. That being said, one of the things I've had to develop a skill around is playing with words. And I appreciate the creative writers who have spoken earlier. How do we craft words together so that we can write letters so that their visas will not be denied, so that they can come and study in our program because our current administration wants to make the world white again, not great again. I feel like that is my calling right now. And as much as I'm a visual artist, I love to make public art. You've seen the Juneteenth bus that circled the community last year. That was created by Kamau Grantham and myself with the MTD. Wonderful collaborators there. I feel like right now at this very moment, my mind is on collaborating with other faculty and graduate coordinators who can help get our students here to study in what is one of the most creative, innovative design programs in the country. And I will leave that answer right there for right now.
Thanks, Stacey. I'm Emily McCown. I use she, her, they, them pronouns. I'm a singer-songwriter. I arrived here in fine central Illinois in 2018. I grew up in Minnesota and then went to school, spent most of my 20s in Washington State. I was kind of over the rainy doom and gloom of the Pacific Northwest, no matter how beautiful it is. And I was looking for a place. It was right around the first election of our president now. I was really looking for a place that I could live my intersectional life and feel like I could work with a lot of different communities, someplace that I could be useful, understanding my own heritage. My family, you know, moved here from Europe into the Midwest, and I have a lot of Midwest agrarian roots. And this space, Urbana, Illinois, with the big college town that it is working class, and it's academic, and it's Black, and it's white, and it's immigrant. It's got all of those pieces, and the community event that I'm representing today is the Hootenanny, and that happens every week here on the stage or inside on Monday nights, and I host that and was graced with that responsibility. And I love the Rose Bowl for its power and potential to bring a vast array of people together, and they have. And we continue to want to do that. So I'll just leave it there and we can talk about it more after this. Yeah.
My name is Kayla Brown, and I am a lifelong townie. I was born and raised here in Urbana. it's hard for me to talk about anything that I do now without giving props to Amy Rickman, because I was a Girl Zone girl. I was, yeah. So I was really grateful to have grown up in a community as vibrant and diverse and just lovely as Urbana, you know. And I got into Girl Zone, I think I was 13 or 14, and learned from a very, very early age the importance of community and art's role in that, and just gathering and supporting each other. And growing up in a community like this, as I've gotten older, I've been given all these really amazing gifts and skills as a result of Girl Zone and the workshops that I attended there and everything that I've learned along the way as a working musician and you know, working in events. So now I have a candle shop in downtown Champaign that has a small listening room in it. I organize a block party. And I just started a small music advocacy nonprofit called Soundbridge, which is all of these things allow me to use these things that I've been given as a result of being a part of this beautiful community to hopefully help folks, you know, here now and that will, you know, be a part of this community in the future. So,
yeah, that's what we're
doing. I'm Bill Taylor, and I've been involved in a couple, three, four different community arts things, I guess you'd say. The first one being the Red Herring, which was started in about 1966. It was outgrowth of the Students for Free Speech protests against what was called the Claybaugh Act, which was a repressive act. And after that was repealed, people wanted to hang together, and so they made the Red Herring out of a previous place that had been a religious education study school thing in the basement of Chandler Murray Foundation. We had lots and lots of music and lots of talks and discussions, and a lot of protests grew out of the war room that was there, the war room. After that, we got into starting community radio in Champaign-Urbana. After a couple of fizzled attempts at that, we took about 10 years, but we finally got WEFT on the air in 1981, and it's still on the air.
Yes.
You can listen to it to find out, but there's a pretty wide variety of local viewpoints and local programming, live music and live discussions and stuff like that. Really helped the community a lot in my, like many other people here, I kind of see myself as a facilitator, keeping these things going, but not providing the philosophy of the place or the overriding viewpoint, but just letting people do their thing. One great advantage of WEFT is that we don't have government funding. So we can't lose the government funding. And I've done other things in Central America and stuff. But we started the Calix Center out in by Allerton Park in the farm. Jan helped with that. We recycled some buildings, put it back away from the road where cell phones don't work very much, where there's no distractions around. So it's a fun place to hang out, and a lot of art gets done there. Some visual art, but mostly musical. Also, celebrations, and more about it later.
Okay, thanks everybody. I want to let everybody know that on your tables you should have some notepads. Those notepads, please use them to write at least one note of solidarity to one of these panelists. And at the end of the panel, either introduce yourself, bring it to them, or you could drop it in this beautiful tote of note that one of our volunteers, artist Sarah Stone, made, and it is right up here. You could drop it in there, and we will make sure the panelist gets it. On to our second question. We have a lot of dangerous myths in our country. We are at a dangerous time, but this country has been dangerous since its inception. One of the dangerous myths that we have is this lie about the individual hero. This is a neoliberal belief that says that individual success or failing is due only to individual effort. This same myth says that people are either born artists or they aren't. It says that social justice comes from lone heroes, cowboys. It says that young people alone could right the wrongs of our society, and all that they need to do it is effort and will. It also says that art is just window dressing, not serious cultural work. They say there are no alternatives. These are all myths in our society. Ursula K. Le Guin, the great writer, wrote, "Hard times are coming," in 2014. She said, "When we'll be wanting the voices of artists who can see alternatives to how we live now, can see through our fear-stricken society and its obsessive technologies to other ways of being, and even imagine real grounds for hope. We'll need writers who can remember freedom, poets, visionaries, realists of a larger reality." She said, "We live in capitalism. Its power seems inescapable, but then so did the divine power of kings. Any human power," she wrote, "can be resisted and changed by human beings. Resistance and change often begin in art," she said. The author Frantz Fanon said, "A book must be the axe for the frozen sea within us." And of course, in the great words of Octavia Butler, the great artist, playwright, and author, "There is nothing new under the sun, but there are new suns." With that in mind, we know that artists can help us see alternatives. They could help us have new perspective. They could help wake things up inside of us. I mean, look at that poster made by Annie Poppin. That blew my mind. That opened something in me, seeing those colors, seeing this design. And with that, I turn the question to all of you. What should locals who want to advance rights and justice know about the role of art in democracy, in community, in organizing, or in solidarity? And Stacy, if you don't mind, we'll start with you and we'll go from there around.
Every revolution has an art movement attached to it. You have to show the people what the revolution looks like. And I believe, I'm not sure if this stat is right, let me know, but I believe that 50% of people are visual learners. I could have just totally made up that educational fact. I don't know. I know that as an artist, I am a visual learner. It's important to show people what an equitable future looks like, what a just future looks like. And I want to encourage us all to not wait till we get everything right, everything perfect. We're going to make a lot of mistakes along the way. We're going to figure out some things. We're going to be wiser in 10 years than we are right now. Just think about how fast the current administration is moving. So rapidly that we are constantly off balance and guessing and trying to figure out and speculate what tomorrow is going to be. It is important for us to make art and to collaborate. Writers and visual artists and DJs and organizers need to be communicating and working together and figuring out what we want our tomorrow to be and making sure that we are as sincere and as accurate as possible, because we will have to answer to the next generation.
That wraps up our time for this week's Catch the Beat. The second segment of this July 4th panel from Summer of Solidarity will finish up next week. You are listening to WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM, streaming on weft.org, a proud supporter of the Summer of Solidarity. All past episodes of Catch the Beat are archived at weft.org under our public affairs listings. With thanks to Creative Commons for intro and outro music by Kevin MacLeod. See you next time.
Listening to WEFT Champaign.